May 6th, and President Representative Copeland, Boucher, Bernard, Ernest, Davidson, Donovan. And first matter on the agenda is bring up Senate Bill 414, which is for trade zones. It's a governor's bill. Maybe staff could address this on this if there's nobody here to testify as to it.
Representative Donovan, this is the committee. Senate Bill 414, introduced by the governor, clarifies with existing statutes regarding the foreign trade zone. Specifically, it clarifies that the corporations that are able to benefit from the foreign trade zone status can be both profit and nonprofit. That's common with other foreign trade zone statutes in other states, and that was the intent of the statute we had, but it wasn't clear. The second thing is that this bill makes it clear that joint applications are acceptable for foreign trade zones. I understand in this case, the municipality in Anchorage wants to make a joint application with the local businesses, and because of the unclear nature of the statute, it's unclear whether they're allowed to do that. This just clarifies that they are, in fact, allowed to do that.
Yeah, nobody signed up to testify on this legislation. Is there any discussion? Representative Bernard?
Well, Mr. Chairman, if there is no discussion, I'll make a motion that we move SB 414 with individual recommendations.
Any objection? Any objection? Motion carries. Is Teresa Mazur still here? Oh, Teresa, okay. Okay, you ready? We'll go ahead and bring up Senate Bill 471 at this time. As where we were at yesterday is we did have a motion before us, a written amendment. There was a question as to whether the amendment would fit into the title of the bill. Chair took it under advisement, and pursuant to Uniform Rule 41, paragraph B, Chair and any other uniform rules that are relevant to that issue, Chair is going to rule that motion out of order, pursuant to the testimony of Mr. Shannon. So we have not adopted, we did adopt the committee substitute as amended. Okay, and then there was a motion to amend. Okay, so we do have the committee substitute as amended before us. Representative Davidson?
I would move the Senate Bill 471 out of the committee's individual recommendations.
Okay, the motion is to move the amended committee substitute from the committee with individual recommendations. Discussion, any objections?
Work order 517-96B.
Okay. Are you no objections? Motion carries. Next matter on the agenda, we'll try to move out of Senate Bill 492. There's a proposed committee substitute in your pack. Mr. Jasper, did you want to address this legislation?
I could, and I'll try to be brief. I know.
You just state your name and who you represent for the record.
I'm Kerry Jasper, and I represent the Alaska Association of Naturopathic Physicians. And a little bit of background, we initially passed our licensing law 2 years ago, and that was after a long court battle to protect our rights to practice. We were not successful in that piece of litigation, and so hence we passed the licensing law at that time. In the 2 years since we've had that, there have been a lot of changes in the profession. One of them is that we now have an accrediting body, which is recognized by the federal government. And this bill seeks to require a student to graduate from a federally accredited naturopathic school. We also have a national board exam, which is now required by most of the states. It was just coming online 2 years ago and had no track record. It has a track record now and it's well utilized, and this bill would also require the national board exam to be taken for licensure. So it keeps the current licensure requirements and adds the board exam in. It also added in a requirement for 40 deliveries, which apparently there was a misunderstanding on. When we passed our licensing law 2 years ago, we were told that we could deliver babies under that law and that we would not go under the midwifery legislation, which was passed the year before. The problem is that there are now certain schools, some of the naturopathic schools, allow students to opt out of the childbirth training if they don't plan on having childbirth in their scope of practice, which means that with basically no training in childbirth, a naturopath could be licensed in Alaska and then change his mind and decide to start delivering babies and then just kind of do it on the job, start learning how on the job. And the original version of this bill would require him to go back to school and to complete a reasonable training program before he could begin delivering babies. And so we feel that's important to protect the public. Unless there's any other questions, I urge the committee to pass the original version that came over from the Senate.
Okay, questions for the witness?
No questions for the witness.
I never went to the witness, but perhaps to the chair. I do know that the one section that Dr. Jasper has referred to, I guess would be the tail end of section 2, has been deleted. Perhaps the chair could share with us as to why that was done in the committee substitute.
Understanding, I believe, but remember the discussion Dr. Jasper says that the understanding was that they were covered by the original legislation, which was not amended.
Is this already in statute, what you're saying?
We have thought it was. That is our grandfather did. We do have representatives of medical professionals here, too.
Let me make sure I understand that. To the chair, if I may. Looking at the original Senate, LNC, second page, I guess subsection 3, there is a three-line statement to that effect. I guess my question is, Ginger's looking up now, is this in statute now?
No.
It is not in statute now.
Well, what was the situation that you were discussing with the chair?
I think.
Go ahead, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to Mr. Chair.
Okay. You're simply referring to line 3 on page 2 through line 5.
Right.
Has been certified by the American College of Naturopathic Obstetricians to perform 40 or more deliveries of childbirth is to be a part of the person's practice.
Mr. Chairman,
what is the current restriction?
Dr. Gatt, I mean, are you able to deliver?
Yes, we deliver babies now. The only restrictions on our practice in the scope that was passed 2 years ago is in 08-45-050 in the statutes, and it says that we are not to use prescription drugs, controlled substances, or to engage in surgery. And we very carefully inquired of the senators at that time, as well as the director of the Division of Occupational Licensing, can we deliver babies? And they said, yes, it's not a surgical procedure. They said, you can't do a C-section. We said, well, that's fine, you know, but you can deliver babies. It's not surgery, it's not prescription drugs, it's not controlled substances. And so we agreed to that. It was a Senate bill. Most of these discussions occurred in the Senate, but we discussed this with the senators. We discussed it with the director of the Division of Occupational Licensing. All right, at that time, all of the schools required all the students to be trained in childbirth. So if you got the degree, you had been trained hands-on and taught. Now they allow the students to opt out of it. And so because the degree now doesn't necessarily mean that you did receive training in it, we want to, in statute, require that they've been through a training program that consisted of at least the performance of 40 deliveries. This will protect the public. What could happen is a student could opt out of it when he's going through school, then get into practice and say, gee, I'd like to branch out a little bit. And then, because there's no requirement for any specific training program, he'd start delivering babies and be learning on the job. We want to prevent that. We want to require that they have had a decent training program.
Okay. Any further questions for the witness? You want to just stand by?
I'll be here.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mr. Urien, did you wish to testify?
Yes, please. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Rick Urien, and I represent the Alaska State Medical Association. 2 years ago, the Naturopathic Act did pass the legislature. It was done quite under the same circumstances as you are today. The 9 days of the session, the bill that didn't get a whole lot of oversight or overview by the legislature. You heard that naturopaths deliver babies. there is not included. They do by omission, not by inclusion, and it was not included in the Naturopath Act on purpose. They testified they came under the lay midwife bill that we had passed before. The naturopaths testified in favor of it time after time after time, and they're included under the lay midwifery, and they deliver babies as lay midwives, not as naturopaths. And what you have here is sort of a backdoor method of going into obstetrics for naturopaths. And I think the committee substitute that you have prepared is a fair bill and the best way to go.
Okay. Any questions for the witness?
Yes.
For the inference?
Thank you. Through the chair. Now, Dr. Jasper has testified that as part of the training, at least up until a point, that naturopaths are trained to deliver babies. Are you aware of this?
That's what Dr. Jasper says.
Okay. Now, with that in mind, the statute currently does not prohibit practitioners from delivering babies. Nor does it permit. So by omission, they are given the ability of delivering babies, right?
They were given the ability to deliver babies as lay midwives.
Okay, let me maybe approach it from another way, Mr. Chairman. I recall faintly the legislation establishing the ability of lay midwives, particularly in rural Alaska, where there may not be a physician person competent to handle the delivery. We gave them certain abilities of being able to administer, at least be present and assist in childbirth. I guess my question is, in fact, I believe there was a certain amount of training necessary within their, within the statute. At least they had to be, at least show some efficiency. It appears to me then that we may have a situation. Dr. Jasper is correct, that if these persons are coming out of school with the title doctor, naturopath, who have not had the proper training in obstetrics, let me say that word, and who may indeed decide to change their mind and start delivering babies, what do we have available to us as a means of public protection in the absence of some language prohibiting? I guess that would be my question.
Well, if you take a look at the statute regarding lay midwives, you'll find out there's a lot more public protection there than there is in this thing that's before you.
Maybe we need to look at that then and see. Do you recall offhand? Maybe we take a brief recess. I'd like to look at that statute.
I almost called you Dr. Bernard. Representative Bernard?
Thank you.
Maybe we have an answer to something.
Well, I'm afraid that the answer isn't going to be quite what you're after. My recollection is that the statute regarding lay midwifery simply reads that midwifery is not the practice of medicine,
okay.
Period, and that they shall develop a midwife working group that will develop regulations to regulate the practice of midwifery. They have not, in fact, at this time, in 3 years, developed those regulations. There is language in the statute or in the intent that says that midwives who are currently practicing can continue to practice until they have set up the licensing requirements. So it's kind of in a limbo state at this point. The licensing requirements that they have been developing are quite extensive. I have yet to adopt them as regulations.
Okay. That's all I have.
Okay. Representative
Minai. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, Mr. Yearn, the intent of the position of the Medical Society, which you're representing, is that they do not want to allow the doctors of naturopath to be delivering babies only under the midwifery statute. Is that my if right now they are delivering babies right now. If in the Senate version where it says that anybody that is coming out of school will perform 40 or more deliveries, that is protection to the public that we would have, correct? So I guess what it comes down to is your position, the position of the Medical Society is they do not want these folks delivering babies only under the midwifery.
or at least with some regulations, some requirements. We're talking about people doing home birthing. You know, it's not in a hospital setting. Some requirements of letting people know the risks they take.
No further questions.
Any other questions for the witness? Thank you for your testimony.
I've got a couple.
Okay, Representative Boucher?
Could the doctor come back up? Or is
it, wait. Representative Boucher, do you have any questions for Mr. Urien?
No, sir, but...
Okay, well, that's what I was asking. If you don't
okay,
have any,
I'm can, sorry.
He can sit down. Let's Representative Copeland, if you have one. Okay. Did you have somebody else you wanted to ask questions to? Dr. Jasper, you want to
join us? Okay.
Yeah. Representative Boucher?
Okay. Start on Section 3 and explain to me in everyday English what naturopathy means. Exactly what do you do?
Well, and I don't want to make this more long-winded than it needs to be, but 2 years ago when this bill was passed, Senator Zaroff pulled some wording out of the Washington state law.
Okay.
That was the oldest, most archaic licensing bill for our profession that we had in the United States. It was so archaic that their sunset review replaced the entire statute the following year, right after we adopted their archaic wording. So what I'm saying is that this is outdated language. It's hard for me to understand. I can only give you what I think this means.
Well, this is what the law says, naturopath.
All right. Well, first of all, this is not the types of conditions that we treat. It doesn't say we can treat sore throats or earaches. It doesn't say what we treat. It just says some of the things that we use to treat. Hydrotherapy is the use of water in the treatment of disease, hot and cold packs. Dietetics, you can look in medical dictionaries and you get an awful lot of different ideas about what it is, but I think that has something to do with things you take by mouth. Could be food or sandwiches or vitamins or something. We are trying to also define that a little bit. Electrotherapy is basically physical therapy, the use of galvanism, sine wave, diathermy, types of things that are found in any hospital physical therapy department. Sanitation, we believe, means talking to people about basic hygiene measures. Suggestion, we believe, is an archaic term for counseling and or psychotherapy. Mechanical and manual manipulation, we think that...
That sounds exciting.
Mechanical and manual manipulation refers to the use of hands and instruments to perform various maneuvers. Does this, anyway, does that answer? Okay. Does that answer what you needed?
Okay, yeah.
If I could volunteer a couple more comments, Mr. Chairman. Although I am a supporter of midwifery and I employ 2 midwives in my practice and have gone to bat for them on numerous occasions to protect their right to practice and the public's right to choose them, I did not testify in favor of the midwifery legislation here in the legislature, for the reason being that it delegated the actual standards to a working committee, which is to develop under regulations, and they've never successfully done that. And the advantage of what we're trying to do here is when we passed our licensing bill, the senator said, yes, you can deliver babies on this, because we don't want to be under the midwives statute. We're not midwives. Midwives are trained on the job. We are required. We have 8 years of accredited education. We don't feel like it's good for us to be lumped in there. Even if Mr. Urien believes that we should be under the lay midwife statute, the fact of the matter is that the director of the Division of Occupational Licensing, our own attorneys, and the senators told us that under our bill we can deliver babies, and we will continue to do so, which means that if we don't adopt some protection in our own statute, then we face a potential situation where naturopaths could change their mind, decide they want to deliver babies, and then not have the adequate training. And that's why we feel like we need to adopt the requirement in our own statutes that they've been through a program that required at least 40 deliveries or more. So I know the committee has a lot of other pressing matters, and I don't want to take any more of your time unless you have questions of me.
Yes, I do.
President Boucher.
Yes, I'm going to continue to read. I'm going through, since this, you have to forgive me, this is the first I've seen the committee substitute. Successor to the Medical Services Department. application. Okay, all right, now. Mr. Chairman.
Representative Boucher.
Basically, what has changed from the Senate version to this? I'm...
Representative Boucher, the committee substitute, the proposed committee substitute, yes, deletes the language found on page 2, from line 3, to right, line 5.
Okay, now tell me why.
Well, pursuant, same basically as Mr. Urian's testimony, okay, there is a discrepancy out there about whether or not naturopaths perform deliveries as naturopaths or
all right, okay,
midwives. And okay, there is some objection from the medical community as to a standard to authorize naturopaths to deliver children, because it's perceived by them to be a backdoor method of authorizing deliveries as naturopaths, and as opposed to providing for it as midwives. That's the argument.
Okay, in other words, the offending language is in here is as having performed 40 or more deliveries if childbirth is to be part of the person's practice. And that's the major. Okay.
That's
now, as I'm gathering from the witness, he is telling me that the authority for their profession is already in the law, and that what they're trying to do is make sure that other people who are coming in are trained.
If I could try, if you're asking me to try to,
yes, yes,
to,
well,
characterize
to get
Dr.
Clear.
Jasper's position,
I'm trying to get
I'll
it
try
clear.
To make a stab at it and give Dr. Jasper the opportunity to to correct me if I'm
because
wrong.
Because I'm a no vote on it as it stands right now.
Which one?
Which one?
I'm trying to find that out, too.
Okay. The position of the naturopaths, Representative Boucher, I would try to characterize their position. I probably shouldn't do this.
No,
but
go ahead.
I would say that they think they have authority under existing statute to do it because they are not precluded from doing it. Although the statute doesn't say they can do it, they say it says doesn't say they can't do it.
Okay.
So that if they do choose to do it, they would like to regulate it by that terminology there, the limit people who have had 30 deliveries before, or whatever it is, 40.
40.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, could I add something to that also?
Sure.
As I recall, the reason they think they can do it, or should be able to do it, is because prior to this point, as part of the training, they were required to go through at least 40 deliveries. And what Dr. Jasper is saying is that a physician now has an opportunity opting out of that. They no may not have that training. So that provision, in essence, the reason the language is in there is to preclude those persons who may not have received the proper training from venturing into it.
Okay. I always ask lots of questions, which shows my stupidity, but I don't mind doing that, then I don't make stupid mistakes. Okay. This could just as easy be they're not precluded from doing other medical things like brain surgery.
Well, no. Okay. It does in the statute say they can't perform surgery.
Okay, well, let's take some other medical thing.
Well, Representative Kopanen, you've been trying to shed some light on this.
What Dr. Gasper and Mr. Ryan both, they were essentially included under layman wise, 1805 or 1856.
Where does it mention that?
Well, this is any.
Who's asked Dr. Jeff?
Any person who has had that, and they have had the training, so they qualify as a lay midwife under current law. There are all of the regulations that are regulated. This is the current statute. The argument of the physicians that these particular things are not covered necessarily by the training.
Question of history. The chair. We had naturopathic legislation before us last year. Or was it the year before? The year before. The year before, it went into law. Okay, what went into law?
Well, the original statute, which is being amended here, and in the course of the discussion, Dr. Jasper mentioned we had testimony both principally on the Senate side, but we also heard some of it on the House side, from the Division of Licensure, and I believe Public Health, Division of Public Health also reinforced that, stating that since the training of naturopaths included the kind of training that you have here, they were also permitted to practice assisted childbirth, not in the hospital, but home delivery. And that is on the record. So the representative of the medical profession says rather than, essentially I believe what they're objecting to is the inclusion of the American College of Naturopathic Obstetrician certification by this group, rather than the fact that more delivery. That's what they're. I don't see Mr. Ryan, but it seems that would be their objection.
Mr. Chairman, if just to point out a pragmatic problem, thank you, is the midwifery regulations, I've seen them and I've had input in their development. They have unique little things like requiring you to get your deliveries under the supervision of an Alaska registered midwife. Okay, so that won't fit for us because we go to school for 8 years down in the States and we're trained down there by naturopathic physicians. And then we have a transcript that says we did 80 deliveries or whatever. And then the midwifery regulations, it wouldn't jive. Even though our training would be superior, it wouldn't fit under the midwifery regulations. And that's why I think that no matter what, even if we could practice under the lay midwifery thing, we still need to plug the hole in our own statute by requiring the 40 deliveries. And as a compromise thing, if people are concerned about the protection of the public, we could take the Senate version and add on there that naturopaths practicing childbirth must follow the standards of care provided in 1805-056, which is the standards of care that the midwives had to agree with, that they can't deliver a baby more than 2 weeks early, more than 2 weeks late. They have, it's all the standards of care. And so if we want to put that in there for the public protection, we have no problem with that. But we've got to plug that hole because naturopaths will deliver babies regardless of what the lay midwives do. We have the authority in our own statute. And if we did that, then we satisfy everybody. The public is protected, plus we plug the hole.
I have no further questions.
Care required of that path in attendance. How do you suggest that?
Well, I would just suggest there that that on page 2 of the Senate version, on line 5, that a sentence be added that says naturopaths must comply with the standards of care required of midwives in 1805-056. And that's the long section that goes into the many detailed things, which I've looked at, and they're all very good standards. A home birth shouldn't be done at more than 3 weeks before the due date, et cetera. All of those standards are fine, and we already comply with those, so we're willing to put that into the statute.
What was that statute citation?
It's 1805-056. And that was that chapter that you were just looking at.
Further questions for the witness? Representative, we've been talking about Representative Ellis. We're on Senate Bill 492 relating to the practice of naturopathy.
I would just go through the chair to Representative Copeland. Mm-hmm. So if that was put in there, Representative Copeland, what is your feeling on that? Do you feel that?
My particular feeling on that would make from a policy requirement.
And it would.
And I have no. I think that would solve that particular problem. I'm not sure how the. Profession or other people I feel about it. I think that would be the thing.
Those
we haven't adopted any substitute or any amendment, but that's a suggested amendment to that, which meets the same, which puts them back under that, in addition to putting them under the requirements of the. College of a protected university.
What's
1805-056 is the standard of care required of a lay midwife.
Okay, that makes sense.
Which is a page and a half of do not.
All right. Well, I guess the way to find out if that's the way the committee wants to go is to have a motion and talk about the motion. What do you think?
Well, I would go ahead and so move, Mr. Chairman, that in that section that we went over there, that that language is added.
Okay, so as to the original, so we have the, as to the original bill that's put for us, and there's a motion to amend it. Representative Copeland, you want to read that?
This is my handwriting, Page 2, line 5, add the following sentence. The standard of care required of naturopaths in attendance at childbirth will comply with the standard of care required of lay midwives in 1805-056.
Okay. There's a motion. Is there, is there any objection to that motion?
No question.
Okay. There's no objection. Hearing no objection, motion carries. So we have the original bill before us as amended. Is there further discussion?
I'd like to hear, are we going to propose to pass this out here, Mr. Chairman? I'd like to hear Mr. Urien's comment on that, if I may, sir.
See if we can find it.
Please. See if that solves the problem.
What's the next thing?
Representative Boucher had a question. He just wanted to know what your opinion was of the amendment. And
the amender would find that language, which is, you know, people delivering babies would also, in addition to the standard that is in the original bill, would have to meet the standard of the in the midwife standards, right?
Yeah, I think it'll be fine. Now, maybe you want to spell them out, but
is that
as opposed to referring from one statute to the other?
So we've listed the statute that
right. Referring to reference the statute.
Does that remove your objection?
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
So the bill as amended is before the committee at this time for motions or Herb Zeminard?
Well, Mr. Chairman, if there is more discussion, we can have it. Otherwise, I will make the motion to move the bill out with individual recommendations.
Okay. Motion has been made. Discussion? Any objections? Motion carries. Bill moves with, as amended with individual recommendations. Okay.
Now, 492 labor. Oh, we've never managed to get
All right. Well, we're discussing this issue, including Calmer. Well, the next matter on the agenda is Senate Bill 392. And we're going to bring that up. Everybody's seen this legislation before. The 2% provision that was provided in House Bill 402 also.
And why are we seeing it?
Good question.
Well, Ms. Major, did you want to address us on this?
Did I need to, sir?
Do you have any questions? I guess there are. I don't think it's necessary.
Okay, do the committee members have this national banks that can currently do business with ADA in their funds?
I think I've seen that just before. It was in one of our files. We've got a couple different files that had it in.
Do you have extra copies, Patrice?
Maybe I should explain it. Or not.
You want to vote for me?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Chairman, I move that CS for Senate Bill 393 vote for the committee referral individual recommendation.
Okay, there's a motion to move the bill with individual recommendations.
What are we doing now? I have an amendment to the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, so there's an objection to the motion to move the bill with individual recommendations. Discussion on whether or not to move the bill with individual recommendations?
Are you not accepting an amendment then? Is that what you're saying? There's
a motion before us, Prince, and you objected.
I objected, okay.
And you have the floor to address your objection.
Okay. All right, Mr. Chairman, then I do object for the sake of offering an amendment. And I'll explain it here. Before you raise an amendment, the amendment is actually the last short pages on the back. Long pages. There's the document, as it would appear, as a committee substitute. The amendment, Chairman, starts on page 1 of the short pages, goes to page 3. It is essentially the same information we had discussed yesterday, having to do with the economic stabilization program. If I recall, we went to quite an extensive discussion on that. Most members are familiar with it, but I am prepared to respond to any questions.
Is this for the committee substitute in front of us?
Well, no, look at the back page.
Representative Boucher, there's a motion on the table before us to move the bill with individual recommendations. Representative Furness has objected to that motion, and we're currently under discussion on the motion to move the bill with individual recommendations.
Okay.
Well then, committee is open for discussion on the motion.
No discussion, Mr. Chairman. I will move the amendment and ask for unanimous consent.
First, the amendment's out of order at this time. There is a motion before us to move the bill with individual recommendations, and discussion on that motion is in order.
Mr. Chairman, frankly, I don't understand what you want. If it's you want to reject the amendment, to simply say you want to reject the amendment, and I will withdraw it if that's your intention. Well, if you will accept the amendment, I have it on the floor.
Representative Furness, I'm being real clear here. We brought the bill before the committee. Representative Copeland made a motion to move the bill with individual recommendations. I asked if there are any objections to that motion, and you identified you had an objection. That places that motion before the committee for discussion. Other motions are out of order at this time, but that motion is before the committee for discussion at this time.
Well then, Mr. Chairman, I would ask the members to reject the motion at this time to move the bill from committee in order to consider an amendment to the bill. I would call a question.
Okay, there's been a call for the question. The call is not there's not a motion for the question, so there's no need for a vote on the call. The floor is still open for discussion. During discussion?
Can I ask a question of yourself or Representative Furness? The amendment that is being proposed to 392, is that essentially language from legislation that is coming before us or has been before us or contained in another bill? Or?
As you may recall, we did discuss this quite extensively yesterday. This information comes essentially from Bill 502. I believe that's a Senate bill.
I guess I'm asking, what is the status of the bill?
I have no
knowledge
at this time.
Do we have it in the possession of the House?
The Senate Bill 502 is currently in the Senate Finance Committee.
Great.
Okay. Still in discussion on the motion.
30 health bill.
Representative Menard?
Now we're in discussion of the motion whether we
should move the bill with individual recommendations.
Or
the motion
or possibly make an amendment.
Okay, the motion before us is to move the bill with individual recommendations.
Okay.
And it has been objected to, and we're on discussion on the motion.
So then does it come to a question or just a discussion?
No, we're on discussion on the motion. If there's no further discussion, then we'll come to a vote on the motion.
Then I call that question.
Okay, question. The question's been called. Is there further discussion?
Well, I guess I'd like to pose a question. Is the bill, let's be a little more frank. Did the bill die? I don't know, Representative Furness, through the chair. If Senate Bill 502, did it die? Is it dead in the Senate?
No.
Or is it going to come over here tomorrow or tonight? I just don't know.
At this time, I'm not sure what the future of that particular bill. The chairman has indicated it is in Senate Finance. I have no idea. I've not talked to the chairman of Finance as to what he proposed to do. I know Senator Kelly did hold a hearing on that. They made certain recommendations during that hearing. Those recommendations have been incorporated into this amendment. In fact, this amendment is essentially language developed by Senator Kelly. The bill is in Senate Finance.
Okay. Representative Davidson?
I call the question.
Okay. Question has been called. Is there further discussion?
Well, I realize, Mr. Chairman, if you will allow me a little bit of latitude. Thank you. Because I know the motion is, should we move the bill out? That's the only thing we should be discussing.
Please, go ahead.
Yes, all right. I made my statement yesterday. In fact, I got the tape here, so I'm not going to repeat it again today. We earlier passed out a bill, 471, and I'm all for it, and it'll do the banking community some good, but I think that we forgot a part of the equation in it. Simply stated, we've looked out to the big banks, and that's fine. But I think state chartered banks, and I'm going to be candid, have been left out of the opportunity. Nobody is going to give anybody any money. They have to go through the process. And to my way of thinking, every dollar that may go into 471, and that's great, is going to go into the economy. So I don't want to be pitted against a different type. But primarily, if this thing was to go through, and it were to become possible, SBA would be able, through Mr. Cox's testimony, yes, I don't know if you heard that or not. Yeah, okay, all right. It would greatly spread out the amount. I think something like 200 and some odd million dollars it would go in to the small business community. I've listened to the debate, and they said, oh, it's a bailout. God, stay away from it. It's radioactive. And I thought, well, you know, politically, this is an election year, and God knows Red Fox don't want to be a bailout guy. But then I thought, I still don't want to face some of the mom-and-pop businesses in my district, which just may come to me and say, God, I was paying my bills and everything, but we just couldn't get any credit. So what I figure, I'm not bailing out banks, I'm trying to protect a credit line. Now, I'm not the wisest person in the world and don't know all about the thing. So I'd rather make a mistake and be criticized for trying to protect or help the small business. Because I've met on the JERC committee, as we call it, the Joint Economic Recovery Committee, and we are passing out a package of smoke and mirrors in many instances. About the only good thing that's come out of this is Representative Donnelly's bill in trade up and trade down. We practically had to beat the people over the head to get anything out of it here. So I guess I would like to see it. I'd like to see Representative Furness have the opportunity to put the amendment on it. And with that, I'll hush on the thing, and I appreciate the latitude that you've given me, Mr. Chairman, because really I was speaking of Mr. Furness's amendment.
else? Just a question to the sponsor's representative. Was Senator Halford advocating for this amendment to be placed?
I'm sorry.
Or not advocating, I guess, rather agreed to, or it was okay with him, or maybe Representative Furness is
talking. I suggest you maybe propose that to Mrs. Mazur, who is here. I'm not personally talking to
you. Wanna...
The senator has no comment.
No, it's for the record, that's Teresa Mazur, Senator Halford's office. I have no comment.
For the record, I have not personally talked to Senator Halford, nor has he contacted me, realizing my efforts on this, and asking me not to do it.
Well, is there further discussion on the motion?
No.
There's no further discussion. We can go to the vote.
I do have one more thing to say.
Representative Ellis.
On Representative Furness's amendment, I know it was discussed yesterday. I have not made a final decision one way or another how I feel about that, but I guess the way I feel generally about these bills is to deal with each one as they come to the committee on their merits. And so I'm not, my vote is not necessarily in opposition to Representative Furness, the merits of Representative Furness's amendment, but I'd like to deal with that in the bill by Senator Kelly that may come over to us from the other body. So I guess I just want to deal with each one as they are, rather than combining bills that I'm not completely familiar with at this point.
Okay. Representative Davidson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would solicit myself with comments. Representative Ellis, I am concerned that there is not an adequate opportunity for lines of credit or working capital for smaller businesses. Since our meeting yesterday, I have spoken with the Department of Commerce, and I think that there is a step being made in the bill we just passed, 471, and I am satisfied that with the department's conversation with me that we can expect some assistance to small businesses through that. And I think that to deal with a piece of legislation that's not here yet by tacking on this bill, I think is something we shouldn't be doing. I'd be happy to take a look at 502 and hope that it would be here soon, and I intend to vote for the motion and get this thing rolling on.
Further discussion? Representative Boucher?
You're going to allow me some latitude. If one will take a look at the title of 471 and 392, 392 invited a truck, invited the aircraft carrier Enterprise into it. And all of a sudden, it's put out as a tease. Now, somebody is smoking somebody on this thing. And that's all I'm going to say. An act relating to the Alaska Industrial Development and providing for an effective date. And then you can put anything into that thing. But I'm not going to second guess what the intent of it was. But where's the next committee referral on this, Mr. Chairman?
Judiciary.
Okay, well, I can count.
Representative Minard.
Well, I just think we're going to be real candid and lay it on there. If we don't attach it, we're going to kill the proposal because of the timing of the situation, the whole thing. And I guess that's the essence of it, so just so we all know where we're at.
Of course, the chair's position has been all along that there is a Senate bill that provides this particular language. I've always thought it's procedurally improper for a House committee to attach another Senate vehicle onto a Senate vehicle in this body. It'd certainly be appropriate for the Senate to go ahead and pass that bill and send it over. There's lots of time remaining to do that. And we would expedite hearings here if it came to this committee. Provide for that, but to attach it to another Senate vehicle without
any public notice of such because we don't have the other Senate vehicle. 502 is not here, so we can't list it on the calendar, so the public wouldn't know about it. I've never thought that was an appropriate course of action.
Mr. Chairman, I would tend to agree with you. I didn't like having to approach it that way either, but it seems that if this was to be accomplished, this was the only way to accomplish it. Johnny, you look puzzled.
Zippers?
Mr. Chairman, if I may just wrap this up. I totally disagree. We could call it anything you want to call it, putting a bill from a committee, taking the Senate information or whatever. As you well know, there's no pride of authorship that any time a bill is in the legislative process, it is open for grabs and open for any ability that it may accumulate. Needless to say, this is not an easy subject. There are a number of people who are very uncomfortable with it. I'm personally not uncomfortable with it, and I think I have a fairly good grasp as to its ability. Mr. Chairman, this is an opportunity. It is a Senate bill that we can attach this to. It will go through judiciary and have additional scrutiny there. If it survives the judiciary, it goes to the floor of the House, and the Senate will have an opportunity to concur or not to concur in the House amendment. So, you know, I think it is totally proper to handle the issue. There was ample testimony yesterday supporting the rationale as to why we want to do this. I disagree with the timing. You indicate that there's ample time. There's not ample time. As I recall, this must be about the 117th day or thereabouts, which indicates we have 3 days, perhaps four, if we fail to count right again. And I believe that time is of the essence. I believe that this is an adequate vehicle to address a problem that, if you have not acknowledged, hopefully we will before the year is out, because we'll see the consequences of inaction on this issue. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I will call for the question.
Representative Davidson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Will the House come back to order? Before the recess, we're under unfinished business.
This is going to be a technical session, we've been told.
Oh. I'm glad somebody was told.
Davidson?
Yes. I'm not certain why or what happened to Senate Bill 502. And I would be interested, but perhaps this isn't the forum, to understand what happened to that bill. But if the good representative on my right could explain to me what some of the arguments are over there holding up that legislation, I would be interested. For my part, I heard from my people back home, and my calls ran about 5-1 against changing anything into what would look like Senate Bill 502. And I think we all listened to the folks back home. And so I'm still concerned that small business does not have capital or working capital or capital to start new businesses with. And yet I did not hear from any of my small business people. So I'm going to go ahead and move 392 out, and would like to have an opportunity to see what happens on your amendment as it comes over to us from the Senate.
Mr. Chairman, if I may just respond.
Curtis?
Again, I make it a practice not to try and anticipate what's going to happen on the Senate. I think we have our hands full trying to determine what's happening in the House. So I did attend the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee meeting, and did glean the information that is before you from that meeting. Again, this is in essence with the exception of one particular change, and that is a federal insured institution. And I think with the exception of that change, this is in essence about 98% a Senate coming out of the Senate 502. I can't explain why you may not have heard from your small business community in Kodiak, nor why you have heard from your community saying don't participate in the bailout. But I can assure you that there is a problem in your community, and there will be an even greater problem in your community unless we take some very positive steps to provide a means of short-term financing for some of the smaller businesses in your community. And I've had the opportunity to work in your community in the financial, both as a banker and as a private consultant. So I'm familiar with a number of the clients over there, from home builders to fishermen, and in fact, even one of the grocery concerns that I was instrumental in putting monies into expanding at one point as a private consultant. So the needs are there. In fact, in your community, because of its closed environment, you don't have very far to go, you know. And if you can't get it on the island, you can't get it, and your options are very limited. So I'll leave it with that.
Okay. Any further discussion? No discussion. I guess we're ready for a vote. Representative Menard.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think I'll just repeat what I said yesterday. I said that in my district, there is a home savings and loan that could benefit from this program. And with their state charter, they do make 60% single-family residential loans. And that's why I am supporting doing that amendment. I think it would have a big impact in my district. And I am, from laying on the table, I am getting responses back from credit unions that are not supporting them. I told you that yesterday, and maybe you are. And I perceive it as a turf battle, going on.
And this bill would go to judiciary in any case, whether it was amended here or not. So there certainly does have another committee referral right there that it would be available for that committee to amend if they felt it was appropriate. The majority of members of that committee want to do that. Further discussion?
Yes. Yes.
I call the question, Mr. Chairman. There's no comment today.
Well, I'm just allowing people to discuss it if they want. If whenever everybody's through talking, we're ready for a vote.
Okay, fine. That's okay.
I feel that in either case, judiciary has a habit of disposing of bills in their own fashion. I'm entirely sure that anything we can do might make that.
Yeah. Right. Further discussion? Hearing no discussion, we're ready for a vote. The motion is to move the bill with individual recommendations. All those in favor signify by the usual sign. All those opposed? Motion carries. And bill moves with individual recommendations. Okay. And that's all the business coming before the committee today. And we'll go ahead and adjourn.